From New York City, the center of the communication and news gathering universe, Mel Crow Productions presents Pete Bone, the voice of New America. The Pete Bone Show. You're invited to call now at 815-1. 815-1. Wait for the tone and then leave your message or ask to speak to Pete. Say, I want Pete Bone. And now the host of the Pete Bone Voice of New America Show. Here he is, Pete Bone. Thank you, Randy. Are you hearing this music? This is the battle hymn of the Republic. This song was very popular and was certainly sung by troops and by civilian alike of the victorious Union side during the Civil War. The Civil War that eventually brought us, birthed, if you will, the United States of America. And from that hallowed and sacred place is where we broadcast tonight. I'm Pete Bone. And for the next several minutes, we will try to make some sense out of what has happened to our country, and we will try to claw our way back. And a lot of people say that, Pete. They listen to you to find a way out of the darkness. That's what we do. That's what we do, Randy. You know that. You've been with me for years.
Yes, I do.
We find a way out of the darkness. This administration led us into this tunnel. But we have a wonderful man. We've thrown our support behind Bing Whitman. And I think he's just the guy to lead us out of this darkness. A Bing Whitman administration is going to do an awful lot for us. And I have traveled countless miles. And I have spoken to countless people on behalf of Bing Whitman. And I still believe in Bing Whitman. Last night, I arrived at the Clock Tower restaurant at the appointed time of 9 o'clock. I had received an invitation, and Randy Bremmer has the invitation that he's showing on our webcast tonight.
Holding it up.
People see that? That's the invitation to the Bing Whitman Festival that would be held at the Clock Tower restaurant. When I arrived, I gave my name. I said, it's Pete Bone for Bing Whitman and the Bing Whitman party. And I was told they had no such name on their list.
You're kidding.
No. I don't understand. I talked to their people yesterday afternoon. I know that. I know that, Randy. I said, would you please check again? No name. I said, I have traveled at least 10,000 miles in the last 6 months on behalf of Bing Whitman and the Bing Whitman candidacy for the presidency of the United States. And they said to me, and I quote, that's terrific, but it has no bearing. I believe I'm getting the quote exactly, too.
Yeah, that's pretty much what you told me last night.
Yeah. So what did I say to you?
You said, they said to you, that's terrific, but it has no bearing on whether we can seat you tonight.
Yes. I said 10,000 miles. They sent a message to Bing when he walked in. And by the way, he came in by way of the kitchen. He did not come in by way of the front door. As you would expect, the Secret Service is not going to take any chances.
No.
Secret Service is very professional. And they're not going to take chances with a candidate for the presidency of the United States by bringing him through the front door. So they sent word to Bing in the kitchen that Pete Bone was at the door and was waiting to get in, and the word came back.
Didn't know you.
Never heard of me. 10,000 miles. Well, the obvious answer, as I said to Randy, is Mr. Whitman, Bing Whitman, never got the message. It was intercepted, and I believe it was intercepted, by Childress Muffle, who is his press secretary, who we've had our problems with.
Boy, have we ever.
Yeah. So, Childress, tonight I say to you, have the common decency and the common
courtesy that you would show to a man who's traveled 10,000 miles on behalf of the Bing Whitman candidacy to speak to groups large and small across this country and explain to the Pete Bone audience why Pete Bone was not allowed into the Clock Tower restaurant last night to sit and break bread with a man that I believe will be our next president.
We're waiting for the call.
Yep. Randy's sitting right near the phone now.
Waiting for the call.
Waiting to hear from you. Waiting to hear from the press people that surround Bing Whitman. Waiting to hear from Margot Whitman. Margot, who we've always had great relations with her. But let me just tell you. I said to the person, I said, are you the maitre d' or the manager? They said, no, sir, I'm just the hostess. I said, you're the hostess. I said, what? She said, well, I'm like the maitre d', but I'm female. I said, no, I understand that, but don't they have a maitre d'? And I'm saying, not because he's a man, but because it's a more formal position that you would have for an event like this. Now, that's when a gentleman approached from the Secret Service, Cal Bland. And I said, what is your name? He said, Cal Bland. I said, Agent Bland. He said, yes. May I help you? He said, well, may I help you? And can we talk outside? And he took me by the arm and led me outside. So this mix-up...
Never got to see Bing?
Never got to see. This mix-up started with me saying, hi, Pete Bone for Bing Whitman. Well, Mr. Whitman's never heard of you. I'm the hostess. Here comes the Secret Service. And I'm led outside by the arm, and I'm told by this man, Cal Bland, B-L-A-N-N. And I said, I might need your name. He said to me, you got it. I could tell that he didn't want to mess with me.
No, I mean, you're gonna obviously get the job done.
I'll get the job done. And so I said, I need your name. He said, Cal Bland. I said, Secret Service? He said, that's right. And I wrote it down. And I made the call this morning to the Secret Service. Now, here's where it gets interesting. They never heard...
You're kidding.
No, they never heard of Cal Bland. Never heard of the guy. I said he's a tall Secret Service agent in a charcoal gray suit, sandy blonde hair. Never heard of him. They said we have agents that look like that, but they were not on a primary detail of protecting the candidates last night. I said, what gentleman do you have? They said, we're not at liberty to give you that name. And I, at that point, I was getting very upset.
Lines are ringing off the hook.
We've got phone calls coming in?
We do.
All right, let's take a phone call. Is this Pete? I'm Pete. How are you doing, Pete?
I'm good. Pete, listen, I'm an old Secret Service agent, and there's no reason why they couldn't just say, well, let's take you back and give you what we call a walkthrough. That's when you go and they parade you back and forth in front of the individual that you came to see. If there's any recognition, okay, you're in. If they look at you as if you are an utter stranger, then we go ahead and we escort you out. So they didn't do a walkthrough or a flyby at all, did they?
To the extent that I understand,
walkthrough is what, when you just walk by?
Walkthrough is when you walk by. Or a fly-through. It's, you don't fly, but that's what we called it.
That nothing like that happened.
Nothing. So they didn't even have the common decency.
They didn't have the common decency to take you back for a walk-by? That I don't understand.
Well, understand, Pete, I don't... Your name's Pete, I'm Pete, so somehow I feel some camaraderie with you. I don't know why.
Well, I've been listening to you for 25 years. I've been retired for 30. Okay, I went out on disability in the line of duty, and I can tell you...
Well, thank you on behalf of a grateful nation, sir.
Well, I appreciate that, but I can tell you it hasn't been easy sitting and watching the service, the Secret Service that I love so much, and it has just gone down, 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 way down to the ground, and I'm hoping it recovers.
All right, so I didn't get a... What would you say? Was that an oversight? Was that a...
Yes, that was an oversight. I would say that the detail, the Secret Service detail they have with Mr. Whitman, and I have no doubt that they're protecting his life and limb properly, but I think their eye on detail is sadly wanting, that you didn't even get a walk-by or a parade. Or you could be put in a stationary place. We used to do is just tell the person to stand there and close their eyes and we'd have the individual walk by them a few times, look them up and down. They would never see them, but they didn't do any of that.
No, they did not.
Where were you last?
All right. Well, thank you. I got to take a quick break here, Pete.
But I wanted to...
Pete, huh? Yeah. Secret Service agent for 22 years.
22 years. And then lost the job. Thank you very much, Pete. Thank you very much, Pete. So now they don't have a guy named Cal Bland, and now it gets curiouser and curiouser. And we'll pick the story up when we come back on the other side here. Picking up the story here, last night went to the Clock Tower restaurant for the Bing Whitman fundraising festival. No one ever heard of me, and I have traveled 10,000 miles or more in support of the Bing Whitman candidacy for the presidency of the United States of America. We'll be right back. The voice of New America, Pete Bone. We'll be right back. Folks, this is Pete Bone. I've got the 16 cassette collection now for you. The history of the United States, according to Pete Bone. I know you want to have this. It's a great gift. It's a great opportunity for you to give this to your young ones. Have them take it to the school. It'd be a great donation to a church or school. Pete Bone's History of the United States of America is my version of what happened. Was there really slavery? You'll be surprised to find out the truth. And in point of fact, were there any real black people in North America before the 20th century? You will be shocked to find out. Also, health care. What is it really? Is it a doctor administering to the sick? Certainly that's something we want to have. But the health care that has been proposed by a variety of senators across the grand expanse of our Congress could very well cost you your life and the use of two, if not all four, of your limbs. Pete Bone's History of the United States of America is all that and more. Send away for it, won't you please? Send a self-addressed stamped envelope to Pete Bone's History of America. And then we will send you back a registration form, which you fill out, put a check in there, and then you send that back to us. A lot of people ask, why do you need a self-addressed stamped envelope? I say, because we just want to do that. We hear so many places say self-addressed stamped envelope, and we think that sounds like a pretty good idea. I'm Pete Bone. Pete Bone's History of the United States of America can be yours. Makes a great gift. Order Pete Bone's History of the United States of America today. That's Pete Bone, History of America of the United States of America. That's Pete Bone's History of the United States of America. Muscle Station, New York City. You're going to love it. It's going to be a fantastic edition. Back here to the Pete Bone Show, the voice of, the new voice of America, Pete Bone. All right, so we got a lot of phone calls that we want to get to. And people are outraged, as well they should be. I went to the Bing Whitman dinner and testimonial festival last night, and that was at the Clock Tower restaurant. I was denied admittance. I was told that Mr. Whitman wasn't in yet, and that either way, they had full charge of the situation. They told me, no, you may not enter. Cal Bland, supposedly a Secret Service agent, now I find the Secret Service has never heard of him, walked me outside. I got his name, and I called the Secret Service and found out there's no such guy as a Cal Bland with the Secret Service. I'm telling you, people, loose ends, that doesn't even begin to tell the story of how this administration has just let the infrastructure of what's going on in Washington, just the basic infrastructure, go to hell in a handcart. Let's go to Mary. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Pete. The only question I have is, did you ask for his identification?
I asked for his... Well, some people were asking about that. I asked for his name. I said, your Secret Service? He said yes.
But you didn't ask for any ID?
I did not at the time ask for any ID. Understand, I was being led outside by the arm, and I was being told, well, go over here, go over there, go everywhere.
It gets confusing.
Very confusing.
No, I understand that, but... If he didn't present an ID, that's a pretty good giveaway that he's not Secret Service.
I asked him, and I looked at him pointedly. And how long have you been listening to our show, Mary?
Oh, I've been listening for about 12 years.
All right. I'll tell you, you know Pete Bone. When I stare at someone and I say, who are you? People have told me I have, because I have blue eyes.
I met you. You got very piercing blue eyes.
So you know. You know.
Yes, I know you're very intimidating.
Well, when I looked at him and I said, what's your name? Everyone knows that when Pete Bone asks a question, you don't lie.
Because if you lie to Pete Bone, you have opened a floodgate, my friend.
No question about it.
You have opened a floodgate. So I asked him, I said, are you Secret Service or are you not? And implicit in my question was, if you lie to me, and I've been on the receiving end of that, Barry.
Oh, I bet you have, Randy. It's, I can tell. But you guys have such a great relationship.
Oh, we're like brothers, but I've been on the receiving end. Randy knows. Randy knows that when I look at him and I say, you know, are you happy in your job? If he lies to me, we've got a whole new set of situations and circumstances to deal with.
All right. Well, if you have.
Thanks very much, Mary, for your call. You know, it's very difficult. It's very difficult. Now, we have a call in to the Bing Whitman office here in New York City. We also have a call in to Big Whitman's wife. And her offices are located in Woodstock, New York. We've placed a call to Cuffell, who is the press secretary. We haven't gotten one call back yet from that. What's going on?
I don't know.
What is going on? Bing Whitman knows that I've got his back. So if he is being kept apart from me, if Bing and I are being kept apart by other forces, and I'm beginning to suspect...
Oh, so you think that the Shank campaign...
You better believe it. You better believe it. I think Brad Shank and his entire team, and as you know, I've never been a supporter of his, but I never would suspect Brad Shank of keeping Bing and I apart at this, the most pivotal time. I'm the number one media representative of the Bing Whitman campaign. Bing told me that. And when I showed up last night and they asked us to fill out the menu card...
Oh, they did, huh? So you'd ordered.
I'd already ordered. I'd ordered the lamb shanks. And then it struck me this morning, lamb shank, Brad Shank. My God, what have I done? My God, what have I done? Listen, we're going to be back in a moment to wrap up. You're listening to Pete Bone, the new voice of America. Pete Bone, the new voice of America. We'll be right back here on the Trafker radio stations. Metco Broadcasting brings you Pete Bone Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 12:10. Thank you.
Motherfucker.
What happened? K-I-K-O, Afferdale, with Whimsy Clark at 6. And now back to the Pete Bone Show, the new voice of America. Thank you, Randy. All right, so where do we stand? As of this hour, phone calls have been placed to Bing Whitman's campaign. Phone calls have been placed to his press secretary. Phone calls have been placed to his very fine wife. And we're going to press on and get to the bottom of why I was denied admittance to the Bing Whitman Festival of Fundraising and the special donor's dinner that was had last evening at the Clock Tower restaurant. As I walked in, just to refresh your memory, I walked up at about 8:15. I said Bing Whitman for, I said Pete Bone.
Yeah.
Pete Bone for Bing Whitman. I was told that I was not on the list. I said, would you please send word back to Mr. Whitman? They said he's not to be disturbed. I said, well, then I'll wait for him. And that's when a supposed Secret Service agent came from the rear of the restaurant, which I took to be about 30 yards from where I stood. A guy by the name of Blan, Gary Blan, I think. And he led me outside and explained to me that I was not on the list for the dinner. Well, that's not good enough. I've traveled over 10,000 miles for the Bing Whitman campaign. Now, here's the interesting thing. Bing Whitman knows my relationship with Bill O'Reilly at Fox News. Bill and I are fast friends. And I'm not afraid to admit this.
This takes a big man to admit this.
I'm not afraid to admit that there were rumors and only rumors concerning my relationship with Mr. O'Reilly. I don't have any problem quashing rumors. I'm a heterosexual. Bill O'Reilly's a heterosexual. The people that started these rumors, we feel, are with the Brad Schenck campaign.
Yeah. Pretty low.
Very low. I'm a husband. I'm a father. Bill O'Reilly, the same. And the word was spread and was consistently spread for 3 years that Bill O'Reilly was a homosexual and that I was a homosexual and that we were, quote, together or dating or something. I'm not familiar with that world, not in a million years. I'm not criticizing. It's not my cup of tea. But I'm not familiar. But the rumors were that we were dating. We had a regular date night. It involved dinner, dancing.
My God.
Yeah. Dinner, dancing, going to friends' houses, hot tubs, and then a late snack, and then we would retire to Bill's house. All of this was spread for 4 or 5 years. Bing Whitman had said to me, I want an honest answer from you, and I gave. I said, Bing, it is slander and defamation. I feel it's Brad Schenck, but I can't be sure. Bing nodded his head. He knew what I was talking about. Brad Schenck had tried to spread rumors on Bing and his wife being involved. And you remember, Randy.
Well, that was a bad summer.
It was a terrible. It was back in the summer of 2012 when he was spreading horrible rumors about devil worshiping taking place at the Whitman estate. This is a man that's going to run for president of the United States, as is Brad Schenck. And Brad Schenck's operatives were out spreading every kind of devious lie about the Whitman family involved heavily in devil worshiping and sex orgies of one variety or another, and you can well imagine the kind of mind it takes to invent these things. Let's take a phone call here. This is Pete Bone. Our number is 841-2-8412. Pete Bone with you. Pete Bone with you always. Remember, you've got a friend on the line. I'm Pete Bone. Hi, this is Danny. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Pete. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I remember when Bill O'Reilly was connected to you by rumor that was started by the Brad Schenck people. They said you were a homosexual.
That's right.
And they said that he was a homosexual.
That's correct, yes.
And I remember the rumors. And I said to my grandmother that I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. I wouldn't believe it. And not that I have anything against them.
That is correct, yes.
Not that I have anything against them. But we know that you didn't do it. And we're all rooting for you.
Thank you very much, son.
Thank you very, very much, Pete.
People are calling in from everywhere.
Well, they want you to know they support you.
People are calling in from everywhere. So it isn't just Brad Schenck spreads the rumor that I'm homosexually involved with Bill O'Reilly and that I am, and now I'm kept out of the Bing Whitman dinner. I'm not allowed into the Bing Whitman dinner. And I have raised money, countless dollars, for Bing Whitman. 10,000, I can't get over 10,000 miles.
Yeah.
And they don't want it. They don't even know me. All right, so what did we do? During the break, I called the Bing Whitman office. I said, hello. They said, yes, Bing Whitman headquarters. I said, this is Pete Bone. And I heard this sort of frustration. And I said, I cannot believe. I said, is Crystal there? Is Rodney there? They pretended that they didn't know what I was talking about, which is an absolute lie.
Well, they have to lie. If they cop to it, they're in big trouble.
Yes. They said, oh, no, no, we don't know what you're talking about. I said, it's Pete Bone. I want to talk to Bing Whitman. They said, you can't talk to Bing Whitman. I said, why not? I raised money for this man. I traveled over 10,000 miles. They said, are you the gentleman that called the Clock Tower restaurant? I said, I not only called, I was there. They said, hold on for a minute. And I got a Madeline Connor on the phone, or excuse me, a Madeline Brower on the phone.
All right, what's she?
She's the chief of staff for Bing Whitman. She said, may I ask you what this is regarding? I said, I don't know who you are. I wouldn't know you if I tripped over you in the dark. But I want to talk to Bing Whitman. I've been waiting for 2 days to talk to him. My name is Pete Bone. You can turn your radio on and listen for me. She said, what time are you on? I said, I'm on from noon. I'm on from 12 to 12:15 every afternoon. I do a talk show. We take phone calls. We dig into the issues of the day. She said, for 15 minutes? And I said, you know, you're really starting to anger me. And I heard her hang up. So that was the extent of the progress we made today.
Unbelievable. And yet these people want to run for president.
Yeah. Well, not these people. Yeah. This is Bing Whitman. And I love Bing. I bet you I could get better treatment from Brad Schenck.
You think so?
Oh, I know so. I could call Brad Schenck. Get Brad Schenck on the phone. Let's call him up.
You sure?
Yes, I'm absolutely sure. I want to talk to Brad Schenck. I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. We're calling the Brad Schenck offices, and I'm sorry, folks. This is not some stunt. We want to make sure that everyone's okay. Because it has been it's frightening.
Well, it is.
Hello?
Brad.
Hello?
Yes, Brad Schenck.
Hi, is this Brad?
No, it's his headquarters.
All right, I didn't know where we were. It's rather noisy there.
Yeah. What can I do for you?
I want to speak with Brad Schenck. This is Pete Bone of the Pete Bone, Bone on the Line, or our new name is Voice of the New America.
Pete Bone, oh.
Yeah. Hello?
He's gone.
It's regarding the Bing Whitman campaign. I've got a lot of information I think he'd be interested in.
Bing Whitman, yeah. Well, why don't you tell me? My name is Christoph Albright. I'm one of the people that talks to Brad on a daily basis. I give him his information. I give him reports, so forth.
All right. Fair enough. I've never met Mr. Schenck. Bing Whitman invited me to a dinner at his at the Clock Tower restaurant, which I think he owns in concert with Terrence Gruel. You know that?
Yeah, I know it.
All right. I was denied admittance to the dinner. When I got there, they said they'd never heard of me. They sent a Secret Service agent out to talk to me. The Secret Service never heard of the Secret Service agent.
Uh-huh.
So there's something going on, and I'd like to talk to Brad Schenck about it.
We're on the air right now.
We are on the air right now.
You realize that it's a violation of law to record or to broadcast one voice without the express permission?
I understand that, but I think that this goes above and beyond the call of duty. I think this goes above and beyond any niceties like that to let you know that I've got some juicy, juicy stuff from the Bing Whitman campaign.
Right, but the juicy stuff, you got to say, you went to the restaurant last night.
Yes.
And you were denied admittance.
Yes.
Well,
I know on the surface that doesn't sound like, but, you know, let me talk. Is there anybody else I can talk to?
No, sir. I'm afraid I'm it.
And you're who?
I am one of the advisors of Mr. Schenck. You don't need to know my name and,
Well, if you give me a name, I can just call you.
Hi, my name is Dave.
Dave. And I can't talk to Brad Schenck.
No, sir, you cannot.
And you're not interested at all in the fact that Bing Whitman didn't have me on the guest list last night for his dinner?
No, I'm not. I'm not. As far as I can tell, it's maybe Mr. Whitman doesn't know you.
I've traveled over 10,000 miles raising money for his campaign. That's what I've done, and I'm ready to jettison my efforts and join forces with Brad Schenck. I'm Pete Bone. You don't know who I am.
I'm afraid I don't.
Well, I do a very popular and successful talk show in New York City.
All right.
And I would be willing to join forces with Brad Schenck.
Well, Mr. Schenck,
think is all of the help he needs in the media. He's reached out to a lot of people. He's got Gladys Nelson.
With all due respect, Gladys Nelson is not the show that he wants to align himself with. He wants Pete Bone.
He wants Pete Bone, huh?
He does. He doesn't know you. If you will put me through to him.
I can't do that right now.
Will you please have him call me back?
I certainly will.
All right. Would you please have him call and tell him you can talk to Randy Glade.
Randy Glade.
Yes.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Well, wasn't that interesting?
Wow. As you said, Pete, it's getting curiouser and curiouser.
Curiouser and curiouser. So now, Brad Shanks never heard of me. Now, what does that mean? It can mean only one thing.
There's a lot of fear. There's fear of being uncovered.
Fear of being uncovered and of talking to the number one talk show host in America today, Pete Bone. Folks, we won't let go of this. I can assure you we're going to continue talking about this for a long, long time. For a very, very long time. I'm Pete Bone, ladies and gentlemen. It's been my pleasure to be on the firing side of things here this afternoon. Pete Bone.
This has been the Pete Bone Show. The new voice of America. Pete Bone. Afternoons noon to 12:15 right here on Melcro Communications.
I'm Pete Bone. Join us as we reclaim our home turf. The country we so dearly love, the United States of America.
For a transcript of today's show, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to Pete Bone. That's Pete Bone, Gulf Station, New York City, New York City.
Melcro Communications.
KIKO. 1620 on your dial. Blue Moon Wilson, 1 to 6 a.m. here on KIKO.
From New York City, Melcro Communications presents The Pete Bone Show, the new voice of America. Pete Bone, advocating for you and you alone. To talk to Pete, call him now at 813-62, 813-26. And now, the voice of America, the new voice of America, Bone on the Line, Pete Bone.
And hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Pete Bone Show. Pete Bone with you here, Randy Glade alongside. Lots of things to report, Randy.
A lot of drama.
You know, you usually relate, and I'm not trying to be offensive, believe me, to the ladies, but you usually relate this much drama, I suppose, to a relationship you may have with a young lady, a woman, a marriage, and all of this drama coming from the young woman who suspects you of having winked at or kissed, you know.
It happens to the best of us.
You know, somebody at a party, you know, it's happened to me. My wife, Cece, she saw me one night and she thought I was kissing a girl. She said, "Were you kissing that girl?" I said, "No, I was not." And she sort of arched an eyebrow. And I knew then, you know, that's the kind of emotion we're talking about here. Now, folks, if you joined us last week, you know that we were not allowed into the Bing Whitman festivity, the fundraising festivity and dinner there at the Clock Tower restaurant. We were subsequently interviewed by a supposed Secret Service agent. They had no knowledge of the Secret Service agent that I had been talking to, and I forgot his name. Is it Plon or Flon?
I think it's Plon.
This man is a Secret Service agent, and I knew it was a Secret Service agent, but they never heard of this Secret Service agent, excuse me, for stumbling along there. I had a martini at lunch. Let me tell you something. We're not politically correct around here. I'm sick and tired of the political correctness. I drink at lunch and come directly into the studio to do the show. Why? It relaxes me. It's something that I enjoy. I've told my superiors or the people that syndicate my show here at Melcro Communications, I like to have two or three
very, very stiff drinks at lunch minutes before I hit the air. You've got something to say about it. You better say it now because I don't want to hear you talk about it. From this day forward, shut your trap about that.
You got that right. Let me just... Come on, Randy. No, I really...
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of Americans out there just like me. At 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, two, you are having lunch. And last time I checked, I live in a free country.
Absolutely.
And last time I also checked, they serve alcohol at lunch in restaurants across this great city.
Absolutely correct.
And I say great city advisedly. Once we get this city back on track with, yes, Bing Whitman, I still have loyalty to Bing Whitman. But Brad Schenck now also has my ear. But across this, let's qualify it, soon to be great city, there are restaurants that serve alcohol at lunch. And this is one New Yorker, Pete Bone, who will sit down and pour back 2, 3, 4 very stiff shots with a beer back.
Absolutely.
And coming directly into this studio to do the show. Now, you know as well as I do that we have been played for suckers and clowns by the Bing Whitman campaign. I was not allowed into the dinner. I then called the Brad Schenck campaign, and what do you think happened? We could play some of that conversation back for you, do we have some sections of it?
We do. We could call back. This is with a man by the name of Albright. And
Dave Albright, right?
Well, he used the name Dave. And you're questioning him now, and you're letting him know what happened.
All right, let's play some of that back, Randy, if we could. And so what I'm saying is that I have information that I think Mr. Schenck would find very, very interesting about Brad Whitman.
I'm not quite understanding what you mean.
Well, what I mean is that we have information that might help.
Are you, and you run afoul of his campaign?
I haven't run afoul of anything, sir. I was not allowed into the dinner. I show up, I tell them my name, and they tell me I'm not on the guest list, and then I have a Secret Service agent escort me out of the restaurant.
I understand. Well, I think whatever you've got, certainly we're interested. In what nature?
Well, I think you know what I mean.
Uh-huh.
Very personal.
I tell you, we can have a man call you.
All right, so that's the
relevant section.
That's the relevant section. That's the relevant section. All right. Cut to last Friday night. This is very interesting, folks, and this is what's happening in our country. This is what's happening in our country. We need information. Well, I got news for the enemies of this country, and I've got good news for those of you who are Pete Bone supporters and those of you who are ready to lift up the Pete Bone Show, that I will always have your back. I will always have your back. I will support you through thick and thin. Last Friday night, knowing that the Brad Schenck campaign was depending upon me, and having been privy to some of the information, let's say, coming out of the Bing Whitman campaign, some of it unsavory, I knew what I had to do, and I drove to the Whitman home there in Feverdale.
Now, this is well known. It's in the newspaper.
In the newspaper, all of this information. Now, they say it's rumor and it's innuendo. They always say it's rumor and it's innuendo when it's the truth. Always remember that. When it's true, they'll say, oh, that's a rumor. That's innuendo. That's the code that they're using. That has just been passed by the Grand Council of Elders, that they will now use the code that says it's only a rumor. And you know what I'm talking about. I don't want to get any more into that because that is something, quite frankly, ladies and gentlemen, that puts my life at risk.
No. Don't talk any more about it.
I won't. So
I want to just tell you one thing. Randy, I want to point your loyalty out to the audience.
Nope, not necessary.
Now, this guy here, I wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for Randy. He's ready to stand up and take a bullet for me if someone comes through that control room door.
Don't. It's not necessary. It's just, I do it very gladly.
Well, Randy, you're a husband. You have four children. And if you were to take a bullet, and there'd be no one to take care of them.
I understand that, but I think it's worth it. My wife is...
No one would take care of them, and yet you're willing to take a bullet for me. I think that's fantastic. Now, I'd like to say the same about you, but I can't.
I understand.
Yeah, I can't take the bullet for anybody. I certainly can't take a bullet for someone who is below me in terms of pay scale.
I totally understand. You don't have to talk about it, Pete. Everyone knows your value, and that's the most important thing.
I appreciate that very much. I appreciate that very much. All right. So Friday night, I drive to the Bing Whitman residence. I walk around to the side of the residence because I had been there before. I had been invited to a pool party, and for one reason or another, that night, or that afternoon, I should say, I was invited to a pool party at the Bing Whitman residence, and for one reason or another, I was not admitted, but that had nothing to do with not being on a guest list. I couldn't find the right entrance because it's quite a large property.
Well, I got two or three entrances to the backyard there.
Right. And as I tried to get in, well, you got to go around here. And I never got in. And I was ready. I was ready to go. I was raring to go. I had a cooler and I had on my bathing suit. And I had on some flip-flops, and I had on my towel. I was ready. Ask anybody that was with. There was nobody with me. I was by myself. But I'm sure there are people that remember me. I went from one entrance to another. That's when I called the Whitman campaign. I said, what's going on there? And I talked to Marjorie Heckdale, who I've talked to many times. And she said, let's find out what happened.
Yeah, and you've heard back from her.
I have. I think I have. I know there's a message. Isn't there a message? Did we not hear back from her?
I haven't, no.
All right, well... Anyway, I drove because I began to think there was something wrong. And Randy knows this, and I don't want you to get scared, folks, but I thought perhaps there was something going on at the Whitman residence, and I was scared. I didn't betray this to you on the air.
You don't want to scare people.
You don't want to scare people. You don't want to scare people. So I drove to the Whitman residence thinking that perhaps... And God forgive me for thinking this, that perhaps Mr. Whitman was in some distress.
He could be, you don't know, he could be being held against his will.
That's what I thought. So I identified the bedroom window from a piece they'd done in the New York Times concerning his home. It was for sale, or they were doing some work, that's it.
Yeah, they were expanding.
And I saw this was, they said, this is the master bedroom window. I had, fortunately, on me... And God forgive me and God help me for having this tool. I had a Slim Jim, which is usually used to break into cars. And why did I have it? I've got explanations for that. Then for no nefarious reason, I can tell you, I found it on the ground.
Near your car?
Right near my car. Someone tried to break into my car and left the Slim Jim there. So I had this. Now, a Slim Jim is not very practical for breaking into bedroom windows. And so I had no other alternative but to take my elbow and break out a pane of glass. I reached in to unlatch the window, and that's when I heard, who's there? And I knew something was wrong.
Well, you had surprised somebody might have been holding them hostage.
That was my fear, and I still remember my beating heart. I opened the window, and I jumped into the room, and I saw, sitting up in bed, a woman that was unclothed. And you're thinking... The worst. Is she being raped? Is she being attacked? There was someone lying next to her. I then recognized that someone as Bing Whitman. And he shot up in bed. I said, are you all right? He said, who are you? What are you doing in my house? And I said, my name is Pete Bone. Everything's okay. And he said, yeah. And he looked quite frightened. I said, Bing, it's okay. I'm Pete Bone. I wasn't able to get into the dinner last night. I wasn't able to get into the pool party 2 weeks ago.
So this is, I think you should tell people, this is what happens in the life of someone who is doing the people's business.
I'm really doing the people's business. Pete Bone does the people's business. I'm not some guy like Sean Hannity who looks into the camera with his cleft chin, his graying hair, his distinguished graying hair, squeaks out a few patriotic memes, and then dissolves back into the green room where he's laughing and smiling and putting cottage cheese on Ritz crackers. I can't, I can't even think about it. So, no, I go out and I get it done. And I said, I'm Pete Bone. And he was shocked. And she said, get out. He said, I have a gun. I said, Bing, it's Pete Bone. You understand? Now, this is the part where you were able to get out of there. Well, understand, I'm not looking to get out of there. I want to make sure he's okay. Are you all right? And that's when I went to the bedroom door. I opened it up. I looked up and down the hall. I saw what looked like a person dart into a room. And then I knew we had some problems. And Bing said to me, don't hurt my daughter. I said, you're in bed with your daughter. I don't understand. He said, that's my wife. He said, down the hall. I said, well, I don't know where she is, but I can assure you I won't hurt her. The only person I'm here to hurt is whoever is holding you hostage. He said, no one's holding me hostage. I said, I understand.
Now, because you they can't speak freely.
He cannot speak freely. So I said, I understand, Mr. Whitman, and I backed out. Now, at that point, he held up a .45, and I said, I would not use that if I were you, because the people that are holding you hostage are probably professionals.
Boy, everybody wants to be a hero, too, Pete.
That's right.
And they'll pull a gun and they'll blast away, and you're just going to cost yourself your life or the life of someone you love.
That's what I told him. I said, put the gun away. And I remember the line from Carlito's Way. Not that I needed a movie line to emphasize what I was about to say, because I would have said it anyway, even though if I had never seen the movie, it still would have, I would have thought of it. And I said, look, put the gun away, because whoever is holding you hostage will probably take it away from you, and excuse my language, ladies and gentlemen, I said, he'll take it away from you and bury it up your ass.
God almighty.
Yeah. And that's when his wife screamed. I said, Mrs. Whitman, it's Pete Bone, B-O-N-E. You don't know me. Now, I've heard of Stockholm Syndrome.
Right.
And these fugue states where you forget where you are. And I think she was suffering from that because she said she didn't know me. And I said, Bing, it's Pete Bone. Take it easy. I said, but don't let anyone take that gun from you because they'll bury it up your ass. And he looked stunned and shocked at that information. He probably thinks he's some kind of a cowboy.
Well, a lot of them do, you know.
But I can tell you. So I said, I'm going to call the police. And he pointed the gun at me and said, get out of here. I said, I understand what you're up against. So I crawled back out of the window and walked down in my car. And that's when I saw the police arrive. Thank God. One of the neighbors had called.
Well, that was the neighbor, and we found her name, Edna Parker, who had called the police, and they and said someone was breaking into the house, and that Pete Bone was on the scene,
and she knew it was Pete Bone.
Yeah, she recognized you from TV.
And I told the police officer, I said, look, there's somebody in there, I believe, holding Bing Whitman. He said, well, how did you get in there? I said, I had to break in through the bedroom window. And, of course, they have to go through their procedures. So I was grabbed, I was picked up, I'd say about a half a foot off the ground, and then slammed face down onto the ground. I understand this is procedure. And again, ladies and gentlemen, I trust our police, and I know they have procedure to go through. I'm not one of these little Red Riding Hoods that gets upset because the police officer...
Yes, but slapped your hand or something.
Slapped my hand or pulled out a billy stick or a PR-24 and went to work on me. I can take it. I'm Pete Bone. Say, Rodney King, that's the guy that couldn't take it.
Yeah, remember that? Remember that?
Do I remember it? Who can forget it?
Yeah, remember that? Rodney King, all ow.
I'll bet you anything. I would love to hear a tape recording of Rodney King going, ouch, ouch, ooch, ouch. That is police procedure. To this day, I've never accepted the verdict of that trial, and I never will. That is police procedure. And were I Rodney King, I would have laid there and taken it, knowing that our police are on the job protecting me and you from the people out there that would do us harm.
So while you're getting hit, theoretically, Pete, with a PR-24, you're getting beaten on the knees and the elbows.
Right. You're taking it because this is what happens. The police have to figure out who's the good guy, who's the bad guy. And while you lay there like a man... taking it, the police then can determine, all right, this isn't the guy, and we'll figure this out in another 6 hours. And meanwhile, the guy that is really did it, now they're one less guy. They've got one less guy to think about. So that's what happened to me on Friday night. I said, well, someone broke in. Now, they talked to the Whitmans. The Whitmans think it was me, but they didn't get a clear look. And I said, no. I came to help you. I came to save you. And they said, well, wasn't that you? Someone kept saying, and they said it was my voice, I'm Pete Bone. I said, yes, I did. And the police then arrested me. And understand, it was all right. They arrested me for suspicion of burglary. Now, they took you down to the substation. First I broke away from the police officer. I said, you don't understand. And that's when I got hit with a billy stick and knocked to the ground. And that's when I said, okay, I get it. I understand what's going on. And I got hit again with another billy stick. And a PR-24 came across right here. You see this?
Yeah.
Hit me in the neck. I got hit again in the gut with the butt end of the stick. I got picked up, slammed face down. I was tased twice.
Now, that is not a fun experience, though, is it?
No, it's not fun, but you want to know what's fun? Knowing that they're doing that, protecting us from people that mean to do us harm. So if you can't... Now, think about this, Randy, and ladies and gentlemen out there. If you can't take a tasing, knowing they're trying to protect you, what or who are you? See? These are the things that I ask myself. Let's go to a phone call here, and lots to chew over, lots to kick around here. Our number is 8213-8213, or if you're in the Midlands area, it is 8212-82132. Okay, how are we doing today? We're talking here to Evan. How are you, Evan?
Very well.
You're on the air, sir.
All right. Am I talking here with Pete Bone?
Yes.
Oh, I live on the same street as Mr. Whitman. I heard the commotion in his home the other night. And I think two other neighbors called the police.
Okay, thank God. Now, that's good to know.
No, but you understand, there was no one else there. I didn't know that you were there, but I thought that whatever the commotion was, the police came with you.
Oh, yeah, no, I was in the house seeing if they were okay.
You broke in a bedroom window?
I broke into... Yes, I went in through a bedroom window. Your voice is familiar.
Well, right, because I was the one that came up behind you, and I said, what are you doing? And you said, I'm going to save Mr. Whitman. That's when I got on my cell and I called the police. The person that picked you up and slammed you face down on the ground was me.
You were the one that... You were not a police officer.
No, sir, I'm not. I'm not a police officer. But I did it when you came out of the window.
All right, okay. Very good. Very good.
All right, see? So I picked you up and slammed you onto the ground, and I don't know if you knew, but you had your head turned slightly, so I made sure that your face was straight down at the ground, and then I slammed you face down into the asphalt.
Okay, good. So what you were doing is you were making sure...
Yes, I was making sure my neighbors were all right. And then I kicked you between the legs. You were laying face down. I kicked you as hard as I could with the steel-toed boots I was wearing right between the legs.
I do recall that. And again, what we're talking about here, folks, when I'm talking to this Evan about, is that, you know, you move first and ask questions later, wouldn't you say, Evan?
Oh, decidedly so, yes.
Yeah. Move first. So I got kicked between the legs, my face ground into asphalt. I had a PR-24 assaulting me at every interval. But why? I'll tell you why. So we knew that the Whitmans, Mr. Bing Whitman, was okay.
Right. The chap that didn't allow you into dinner.
The chap that didn't allow me into the dinner, right, yeah.
And there you are at his home, breaking in and looking at his wife nude.
Right, yeah.
And there he is pointing a pistol at you.
And you want to know something? I'm so grateful I got there in time.
In time for what, sir? In time for him to pull a gun on you?
In time? You must still be in shock.
No, I'm not in shock.
No. In time to make... All right, thanks a lot.
No, you see...
We have a lot of people, and let me tell you, I talked to them. I talked to the neighbors that night as they were yelling and screaming. People were in shock, Randy.
Right. Well, they weren't sure what happened.
They were in shock. They thought I was breaking in to the house to rape Bing's wife, and I said, no, there was someone else in the house. They said, yes, their daughter. And I said, thank you for that laugh. You know, I laughed. And everybody was in such shock that their information and facts were messed up. Absolutely messed up. Well, when we come back, I was told, and through the good offices of Randy Glade, the home security system at the Whitman's house recorded the break-in and what followed. I think you'll be fascinated to hear what's coming up next here. This is Pete Bone, and you're listening to the new voice of America, Pete Bone, Bone on the Line, The Pete Bone Show. Pete Bone, Bone on the Line. Hi, folks, Pete Bone. I've told you about the all-new Wookiee suit. And I'm telling you right now, without a Wookiee suit, you can't get anything really done around the house. The Wookiee suit protects you from all of the inclement weather outside. It protects you from the interior harsh conditions, sometimes working under the house, sometimes working on the roof of the house. You never know where you're going to be to try to do all of the repairs you need to do, all of the home remodeling that you need to do. You do it in your Fastbinders Wookiee suit. The Wookiee suit comes in all sizes, extra large, large, medium, small. And, of course, we have the Ewok hat, and you can put that on and know that you're going to be safe all winter long, all summer long, wearing your Wookiee suit and, of course, the Wookiee costume head. The Wookiee suit is available now at Burton's, but you can buy it at a 30% discount right here on the Pete Bone website. That's right. So come on over here to the Pete Bone website, go to our store and get the Wookiee suit with the Ewok shoes and the Wookiee head that will protect you morning, noon, and night from the inclement weather that could attack you while you're trying to remodel your house, and as well from those ultraviolet and gamma rays that come in from outer space. You know as well as I do, they have been reverberating since the Big Bang, the beginning of time. The Wookiee suit will protect you from all of that at a stunning 30% off price of $59.95. The Wookiee suit. The Wookiee suit. Pete Bone's got it. You'll get it, too. The Wookiee suit also available at Burton's. And now we return to The Pete Bone Show. Pete Bone. The new voice of America. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pete Bone. We have very, very cursory audio from the night in question. And this is when I was trying to get to the Whitman family. Mr. Whitman. Bing Whitman, and I was trying to get to his lovely lady, as we felt, and we were very, very certain that there was something going on there. You know, the house had been broken into. People were not where they should be. People were at risk. We didn't know, and I didn't have time to sit there and do what a lot of our elected officials would do, which would be to sit there and,
play mumbly peg.
Play mumbly peg, rolling the thumbs. You've got to act. And so many of these people, the current president, the current administration, would sit on their hands while a woman's being attacked and a man is face down and he's being attacked face down. And she's forced to watch it and she's next. That's what I walked into.
You're fairly certain.
Oh, I know it. I know all the telltale signs. Here then is, now what do we have here, Randy?
This is very simply when the shotgun went off. Now, you were not in range, but
Mr. Whitman came out with his shotgun.
No. It was Mrs. Whitman.
All right. It was Corey Whitman.
Yeah. Came out with the shotgun.
And you'll hear me trying to calm her down here on this one clip.
Now, you got to watch out, okay? You got to watch out. Just, you don't want to. Hey, ha! You got to watch out. Watch out. Watch the fuck out. God!
Wow. You can hear the fear in her shotgun blasts.
And you were not afraid so much as you were trying to warn her.
No, that wasn't fear. I was telling her, watch out. You're going to shoot yourself or you're going to shoot your husband. I wasn't afraid for myself at all. Later on, they had given a statement to police, Mrs. Whitman did, and said that I took off running to the end of the street. What she did not tell the police was that I was very certain I heard someone screaming at the end of the street. I was going to find out what the hell was going on. Because you don't know.
You don't know whether the threat is streetwide or located at the house, yeah.
So it was a very, very frightening afternoon. All right, let's take some more phone calls here. Let's Pete Bone on the line. And, of course, our number here is 811-8111, 811-8111. Those are two separate different lines. So you have to make sure that you call 811 and then 8221. And I'll tell you, we do have a couple of lines open, but I don't know for how long. Our number, again, is 812-81. And make sure that you tell Randy Glade, who is fielding all the calls here tonight, make sure you tell Randy Glade that you are a Pete Bone bone-in subscriber. That means you get on the line faster. If you're a bone-in subscriber, we do, make sure you get on the line faster. Hi, you're on the Pete Bone. This says it's Bing. Is this Mr. Whitman?
Yeah, this is Bing Whitman. You were in my home the other night, and you scared me and my wife half to death. Who are you?
Bing, this is Pete Bone.
Pete Bone? I don't know Pete Bone.
You invited me to your dinner the other night.
What dinner? What dinner?
The dinner you had at the Clock Watch.
I had no such dinner at the Clock Watch.
This is Bing Whitman running for President of the United States.
I'm running for Governor of New York.
No, I'm looking for the Bing Whitman that's running for president.
Well, I don't know of any Bing Whitman that's running for president. There's a Brad Schenck that's running for president. And there is a Mitch Ronaldo who's running for president. But very early on in the process, I'm not running for president. I never declared.
All right, so you're running for governor.
Yes, but I didn't have any dinner at the Clock Watch.
Did you... All right. Did you invite me to any kind of a dinner?
No, I did not. I don't know who you are.
Did you invite me to a pool party at your house?
No. Why would I invite you to a pool party at my home when I don't know who you are? And you broke into my house the other night.
I didn't break into your house, Mr. Whitman. You were being held hostage, most likely, by agents of the, as you know, of the vernacular. And we've talked about it on this show.
Of the what?
The agents of the Vernacular Committee. Agents of the Vernacular Committee. Try and stay with me on this one, okay? It's only been around for about 50 years.
Man, where you been, man?
Yeah, where have you been?
Where have I been? I've been on planet Earth. I've been on planet Earth. And I suspect that you have not been.
I am on planet Earth each and every day of my life trying to protect my listeners, the Bone-In Club members, and...
But what?
The Bone-In Club... Are you a Bone-In member?
I think you're bone in.
Well, whatever that means.
Oh, well, I think that a lot of people out there know. I'm going to tell you for the last time that I've taken out filing a civil action against you, sir, for breaking into my home and almost scaring my wife half to death, and also a protective order on you. I'm not running for president. I'm running for governor, and I don't know you, and I don't know Ricky Glade.
Right, my name's Randy Glade.
I don't know you. I've never talked to you.
Bullshit.
Oh, what a...
Look at that. See? Look at that.
Yeah. See, that's exactly what I knew would happen.
I knew it. He hangs up. As soon as you call him out, he hangs up. Huh? Okay. As soon as you called him up, he hangs up. I knew it. I just knew it. 82323. Let's go to another phone call. Here we got Doris on the line. Doris, hello. How are you doing?
Oh, hi. Listen, Pete. I'm looking on the videocast because I have a video subscription to your site.
Yeah.
And when you said I knew it, you had this look like you really think you know something. You don't. You're wrong. And I think there's something wrong with your mind.
You think there's something wrong with my mind based on what?
I'm looking at you in the videocast, and you gave Randy this look like, yeah, see? Like you think you know what's going on.
I know what's going on, Doris.
No, you don't. No, you don't. There's something wrong with your mind. Your mind.
You know, this is exactly...
No, this is not political. I'm not saying this to try to get, you know, to try to upset you politically. I'm telling you, your mind is coming apart.
Let me tell you what. I'll meet you here...
No.
There's another one that hung up.
I'll tell you, people can't take the confrontation, Pete.
No, they can't. I am more convinced now than ever before that Bing Whitman is in serious trouble, and I'll try to get to him as soon as I can. Mr. Whitman, I understand completely how you feel. I'm going to have to come to your house tonight in the cape.
You will wear the cape.
I have to wear the cape. I'll come to your house tonight in the cape, and the hood. Now, no, a lot of people say it looks like a Ku Klux Klan hood. There's nobody in this world that's further from the Ku Klux Klan than me. I can tell you that with great authority, all right? The hood that I wear is a gamma defense hood.
Well, there's gamma radiation, alpha radiation.
Yeah, and we've tracked it through the subspace, the background noise that we've gotten. So I have to wear what looks like a Ku Klux Klan hood, but it's actually just protecting me from gamma radiation. If I can get to you, Mr. Whitman, I will.
Now, a lot of people are asking, and you should answer this question, why don't you call the police?
Why don't I call the police? Good question. Here's why I don't call the police. I believe that our police officers are spread so thin that there's a very good chance that the next call they go out on, especially this particular call, a guy who is a candidate now, he claims a candidate for the governor. You and I both know he's running for president. That they're going to flip their lids and they won't be able to handle it. So we won't call the police. And I understand if you show up and you have to beat me down again, I won't like it. It's very, very painful, but I'll understand. I'll be wearing a blue hood for gamma radiation protection only, not because I'm in the Klan. And I hope that, I hope that helps people understand.
Well, all you can do is tell them what's going on and hope that they understand.
Exactly. Well, I'll tell you what, this has been my pleasure. This is the Pete Bone Show. And we appreciate you listening to the new voice of America. We're taking our country back, one presidential candidate at a time.
The Pete Bone Show from Malcro Communications, the new voice of America. From sea to shining sea, Pete Bone. Mine eyes have seen the glory, Pete Bone. Oh, say, can you see? Pete Bone.
Hi, everyone. I'm Pete Bone. And remember, when you need me, thank you.
Famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by me, Phil Henry, for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on
Podcast One. I'm Pete Bone.